headset system hopefully next week, if not next week, the week after. So, but we're still trying to figure out. That wireless mic just not working good. Is that coming through in the back, Gladys? Can you hear okay? She must not. She's not responding. Gail? Okay. All righty. We are living in changing times, are we not? Yeah. We see things happening we never thought we'd see happen. And we talked a little bit about it last week. And we need to adapt to the changing times. We need to learn how to deal with the issues that are before us now that are not the same kind of issues that were before us 25, 30 years ago. And that's what I've tried to do, and the title of the message is to master these three informal fallacies. We covered two of them last week. So we're going to cover the third one this week. But this week I was riding around with one of my grandsons, and I was telling him riddles, seeing if he could figure out the riddles. And I told him one riddle, and he couldn't quite figure it out. He eventually did, after I gave him a couple clues, but I'm going to tell you the riddle. And you've probably all heard it. I remember it from back when I was a kid. But the riddle goes like this. There was a man on a motorcycle with his son behind him, and they had an accident. And the son hurt himself. He broke his leg. So the man rushed his son to the hospital. They took him in because it needed to be operated on. Took him in, prepped him, put him in on the gurney or whatever. The doctor came in to do the surgery, took one look at the boy and said, "I cannot operate on this boy. He's my son." So I asked my grandson, how can you explain that? Now, have you all heard that riddle pretty much before? Does anybody doesn't know the answer to it? Okay. Oh, okay. Well, you want to take a guess? No? I won't belabor it. The answer to the riddle is the doctor was the boy's mother. So you get in the mindset as you tell the riddle to thinking that it's a male doctor, but in reality it's a female. Now, after I told the riddle to him, I got to thinking. There was some profundity in that riddle, in that it doesn't mean the same today as it did when I heard the riddle when I was young. It's gone through a couple of changes. There was the reason nobody got it back when I was a boy is that there weren't that many female doctors. You just didn't think of as a doctor as a female. So it went through that change. But now, I think if I told that riddle to some children today, the response might be, "Oh, that's easy. I know the answer to that. The boy has two daddies." Right? I mean, we're seeing that all our Secretary of Transportation, him and his husband have adopted a little boy. So if that was the little boy on the gurney, it would be simple to say, "Yeah, that's my son," because it brought to mind the change that we're going through in our culture, and even jokes change because of the way we think of things. So we covered last time two of the issues that are kind of part of the change. The ad hominem attacks, and I'll just review it briefly. Ad hominem just means name calling. So if you have an argument with somebody, or a discussion, I should say, about an issue that person has a problem with the Christian faith, and you present your issue, one of the ways they respond to it is by calling you a name. Instead of addressing the argument, "Well, you're biased, you're homophobic, you're racist, you're this, you're that," whatever. And instead of addressing what the issue is, they address it with the ad hominem attacks. And the other one was the genetic fallacy, where supposedly certain people don't have a right to argue about certain things because of their genes, their maybe their gender or their religion or whatever. For instance, the issue with abortion. Well, a man, they would say, doesn't have a right to talk about it because it's a woman's issue type of thing. We went over that. And we're going to briefly review how to respond to those at the end of this. But the third argument is one we're going to cover today, and that's the straw man argument. This is an argument that is used oftentimes by people in our culture to attack the Christian faith. And I'll give you some examples. Well, a straw man is just think of a scarecrow. I mean, it's easy to knock a scarecrow down, is it not? What they typically will do is, instead of responding to what you're saying, they will build a scarecrow, and then they will knock that scarecrow down and say, see, I defeated your argument. And in reality, they're not really addressing your argument at all. They're addressing one that they have made up. So that's the straw man. That's why they use the expression straw man. It's easy to knock down a straw man because a straw man can argue back against you. So let's talk about a little bit about the straw man. Now, I used the example before last week about dismissing the view of a man's view about abortion because he's not a woman. And that, as I said, was a genetic fallacy, but it is also a straw man argument. And what I mean by that is it's not really the issue, like the woman says, you know, I have, it's my body, my choice. I want to do what I want to do. And what pro-lifers are saying is we're not really talking about your body, your choice. That's not the issue. In fact, that's kind of an untrue statement in and of itself. There's a lot of things we can't do with our bodies. Any of us. You can't intentionally harm yourself. You can't try to commit suicide. Now, you might get away with it, but if there are authorities that are present or whatever, they will try to stop you from harming yourself. You can't inject illegal drugs into your body. My body, my choice. No, it's not. You can't sell your organs. It just, it's not a legal thing to do. And you can't, well, I used to say that you couldn't be forced to buy your health insurance. But we have learned that you can be. But a good argument against that would have said, it's my body, my choice. I don't want to buy your particular health insurance. Same thing with seatbelts. If you get pulled over by a policeman and you get a ticket for a seatbelt, you can't turn around to the policeman and say, it's my body, it's my choice. If I don't want to wear a seatbelt, I don't have to. You keep doing that and eventually you'll go to jail. So the expression, my body, my choice, in and of itself is not a legitimate argument. But setting that aside, it is also, it's a straw man, because what they've tried to do is ignore the actual viewpoint that the pro-lifer is trying to make, and they've set up a straw man to knock it down. Because what we're concerned about is not your choice of what to do with your body, it's your choice of what you're doing with another body that is inside you. It is an independent, growing, living thing, and to say that it is your body is not an accurate description. So there's another one. I mean, there's all sorts of different type of straw men. The other one, I think I mentioned Aaron Rodgers last week, the quarterback that had an interview and was dismissing Christianity as a whole, and his complaint against Christianity was this. He said, why would I want to believe in a God who forces me to believe in Jesus, or he sends me to hell if I don't believe in Jesus? What kind of God is that? I don't want to believe in a God like that. Now, if he said that to you, would you be ready to intelligently respond to him? Because that's a common thing that you'll hear from different people. You mean to tell me that just because I don't say a simple prayer that I'm going to go to hell? Is that what you're saying? Well, I don't want to worship a God. I don't want to be involved with a God like that. They have just built a scarecrow that is not accurate. It caused me to think, this is a very basic question, but have we really thought it through? Why do people go to hell? What causes people to go to hell? Is it refusing to confess your sins to Jesus? That's not really what the Bible says. The Bible says something entirely different, and you'll find it in chapter 20 of Revelation. It tells you there why people go to hell. And the reason they go to hell is because of their deeds, of the sin in their life. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. And Revelation chapter 20 says, in the end, when the decision is made whether we go to heaven or hell, it says the books will be opened and your deeds will be published right there in front of everybody. I believe everybody who's ever lived will be there to witness it. And every single person's deeds will be laid bare for everyone to see. And there will be no doubt in anybody's mind that we have all sinned. And it is because of our sin that we are penalized and assigned to hell. Now, fortunately, there is one who is willing to take that penalty for us. So for Aaron to say, just because I don't believe in Jesus, I go to hell. No, you go to hell, Aaron, because of your sins, because you have lived a sinful life. What Jesus offers you is a pardon from your sins. You're interested in the pardon. That's the question. An analogy might be something like a person who is walking through the woods and maybe he's jumped on by a bobcat who's frothing at the mouth and he gets all scratched and bitten and makes his way to the hospital and the doctor says, probably that thing has rabies and you need to take a rabies shot. Because it is, if you contract rabies, it is 100% fatal. You will not survive it. And if the guy says to the doctor, wait a minute, are you telling me that if I don't take your shot, that you are assigning me a death certificate? You're going to send me to the grave because I refuse to take your shot? Well, that would be silly. The doctor would say, of course not. You're already heading to the grave. You've already got the disease inside of you. What I'm offering you is relief from the disease. I'm offering you a pardon. And if the person refuses to take the rabies shot, and he does in fact contract rabies, and he dies from the rabies, guess what's going to be on his death certificate? It's not going to be cause of death, failure to take a shot from the doctor. It's going to clearly say died of rabies infection. So that's just, I think, a more accurate way of looking at it. So I think you see maybe the straw man that Aaron Rodgers and others build up. They build up this picture that's not true. It's not about magic words. It's not about one person from one religion choosing the wrong thing or the other person. Everybody has rabies. We all have sin. We're all going to be held accountable to that. So, not believing in Jesus is not the basis for our judgment. The basis for our judgment is the wrong that we have done. And we could have avoided that judgment if we had trusted in Christ to take the judgment for us. So, what are we going to say? What would I say to Aaron Rodgers if he would listen to me, if I had the opportunity? I would try to explain to him that he had built up a straw man. I would say something like, what is it you actually believe, Aaron? What do you think is the way people do go to heaven or go to hell? What is your opinion? So you kind of turn his statement around, ask him to explain what it is he believes, and then hopefully get the opportunity to explain to him that it has something to do with his sins, not with magic words or anything like that. So, you can read that for yourself in Revelation chapter 20, and it talks about the what's going to happen at the great white throne of judgment. And Colossians tells us that men loved evil rather than good, and they loved darkness rather than light, and because their deeds were evil, that they end up in the lake of fire, and that they will be punished for their crimes against God. So, I would say to Aaron, do you believe that people who break the law should be punished? I think he'd probably agree with that. And I would say, Aaron, have you ever done anything wrong in your life? Have you ever sinned? You know what sin is. Have you ever sinned in your life? Well, if he says no, I want to talk with his wife and ask her the same question. But I think he would probably say, yeah, I have. And then I would say, well, then by your own words, you have confessed that you're guilty. Okay, now you stand before God. Now what? Are you interested in a pardon that's available? Or do you want to pay for your sins? Because that's what Jesus gives. He gives a pardon. So it's basically asking him, do you want the rabies shot? Or do you not want the rabies shot? So what have I done? I basically confronted him with his straw man argument that he has mischaracterized, whether intentionally or unintentionally. It probably is unintentionally. He's probably just heard that mantra time and time again, and he's just repeating what he's heard. But he's mischaracterized the Christian's position of the afterlife. So look for the straw man argument, and that is one way to respond to it. Now, when they knock the straw man down, they think they have done it and won the argument, we say, no, that's not really what we're talking about. There is a fourth one besides the straw man, and I just got to touch on this briefly. It does come up, and it's come up a little more recently, and that is circular reasoning. We've seen that pop up just in the last couple years. And actually, Christians are guilty of circular reasoning, too. And I don't want you to be guilty of it. And here's the way that goes. Someone says, why do you believe the Bible? It's true. And we say, it's because it's the Word of God. And they say, well, how do you know that it's the Word of God? And we say, because it says right here in the Bible, in 2 Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed. How do you know that that's true? Because it's the Word of God. You see the circular reasoning that we as Christians do sometimes. And we that should not be our response to why do you think the Bible is the authoritative Word of God. It shouldn't be because the Bible says so. A better answer would be because Jesus himself, Jesus of Nazareth himself, said that the Bible is authoritative, and he proved it by being raised from the dead. He did something that nobody else has ever done. He conquered death. That's history. You can test the historicity of the Bible, the truthfulness of the Bible, and its authorship and all, but the grave is empty. The tomb is empty. Jesus is not there. He has proved. That's a better way to respond to it than using circular reasoning. But the world uses circular reasoning too. Here's a question that's been asked recently. What is a woman? Do you know what the world's response to that question is? A woman is someone who believes they're a woman. That's circular arguing. That's you hear that, and they actually think that's an answer. There's a documentary out, by the way, called What is a Woman? And it is hilarious. It's this guy who has gone around asking all of these professors, these biologists, these doctors, a simple question. Can you tell me what a woman is? And they just twist themselves into a knot trying to answer the question, and they have to walk on eggshells because what they're trying to do is include men who are calling themselves woman into their definition. And when you try to include that in there, it makes the definition very, very complicated. And ultimately, they have to either cancel the interview, which they'll walk out on the interview, or they'll start calling him names. They had homonym attacks, things like that. But they can't answer the simple question, what is a woman? Even the most recent Supreme Court justice that we've had, in her confirmation hearings, they asked her, can you tell us what a woman is? I don't know how many of you saw that, if you did. But she tried to dodge the question, and he kept coming back, just tell me what a woman is. And she said, I can't tell you that. I'm not a biologist. And she may not be a biologist, but I think she's a woman. She should be able to tell us, you know, what a woman is. But why do they refuse to acknowledge the definition of a woman? It's because, here's a correct definition. It is an adult human female. Now, that disqualifies biological men who identify as women. They cannot use that definition because it would, for many people, would jeopardize their career, their government funding, their reputation, all these types of things. Even the Cambridge Dictionary has recently revised its definition of a woman. You want to hear it? It's an adult who lives and identifies as female, though they may have been said to have a different sex at birth. Now, that's crazy. That is hogwash. And that's because of the political pressure, that's in the dictionary. But it is circular arguing when you say that a woman is someone who identifies as a woman. Or you could even say identifies as a female. Okay, well, what's a female? It's still circular arguing. So, another circular argument that you will hear. Some people will say, I don't believe that there is a God. I believe in science. I believe that everything is materialistic. When you say, well, what about the miracles in the Bible? They say, well, I don't believe in those miracles. I believe those are legends. I believe those are myths. Why do you believe those are legends or myths? Because those kind of things cannot happen. Why can't they happen? Because those things don't happen. Because there is no God. Everything is naturalistic. Everything is materialistic. They use that type of circular reasoning, and they don't. Oftentimes, they don't realize that they're doing it. But that is an example of circular reasoning. Let me see if there's anything else. So that's kind of four. I said it was three, but it's kind of four. So let's just review briefly what they are and how to respond to them, because you need to be prepared. You're going to run into these. That's the kind of thing that's going on in our culture right now. Ad hominem, or to the man. When somebody attacks you for or diverts the issue by attacking you, such as calling you homophobic. I don't think that it's correct for two men to get married. Well, you're just a homophobic. How do you respond to that? You respond by saying, why did you change the subject? Or as I said last week, I think you're ugly. But that doesn't have anything to do with the fact that I don't think people, two men should get married. So when you hear an ad hominem attack, your response should be, why did you change the subject? In a nice way. And help them realize that by them calling you a name, whether it be any of those things, it doesn't do any good. The question is, let's talk about the issue, whether or not it's appropriate for two men to be married, or anything like that. There's the all roads go to heaven thought that many people have. And then what'll they say to Christians? They'll say, well, you're just narrow-minded. You think yours is the only way. You are a narrow-minded Christian. That's an ad hominem attack. How do you respond to it? Why did you change the subject? Why are you calling me narrow-minded? Do you realize that every major religion thinks that theirs is the only way to heaven? It's not Christians. It's every major religion. That's a response that you can have to it. And we talked about, well, if you were born in Saudi Arabia, you wouldn't be a Christian, you'd be a Muslim, which is an argument often raised by atheists. And you say, well, if you were born in Saudi Arabia, you'd be a Muslim too. It's not, it has nothing to do with the validity of atheism or Christianity or anything. It's an ad hominem attack. It's changing the subject there. Why do I think the Christian view is the best view? It's because, again, the man, Jesus of Nazareth, did something that no other religions even claim that they did, which is their leader being raised from the dead. Christianity claims that. So that's why I believe it. It's not because I was born in America. I believe it because it makes the best sense to me. So if you have a complaint about exclusivity, take it up with Jesus. He's the one that said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except by me. So that's the ad hominem. That's how you respond to it. The genetic fallacy, the basic response is, my gender has nothing to do with the issue. Just because I'm a man doesn't mean that I can't comment on abortion any more so than just as I, as a single man, can comment on somebody else beating his wife. I don't lose the right to do that just because I'm a single person. Same with kids. If I don't have kids, doesn't mean I can't comment on my neighbor who beats his kids. I'm not unqualified to talk about that. Imagine if a child fell into a pool and was drowning, and I was getting ready to jump in the pool and save the child, and somebody stopped me and said, are you a qualified lifeguard? Are you licensed? Let me see your credentials. I would shove them out of the way and say, my background, my genetics don't have anything to do with this. I'm going to save the child. Anybody can save the child. Everybody should save the child. So when you are faced with the genetic fallacy, just remember a couple of those little things as illustrations of why it doesn't make any difference, and respond to the attack with, my gender has nothing to do with it. And of course, the straw man we just talked about, a great response to the straw man attack is asking a question, a simple question. What is it that you really think I believe? And another form of the question, what is it you really think? You've built up this false premise about what Christians believe. What do you believe, Aaron? How do you think people get to heaven? Hopefully you can get them to thinking when you ask them that question, because you know a lot of times they just haven't thought it through. All they hear is a repetition of something that goes through our culture time and time again, and they start thinking that it actually has some substance to it. Well, that's pretty much it. That's the issues that we're facing. Probably 90% of the complaints you'll hear against Christianity will fall into one of those three main categories today. And so we need to be prepared to identify them, and when we identify them, to have a response ready in our mind to go to that, so that we can hopefully get people out of the ruts that they're in and make them actually think about what they're saying. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for another day, another week, Lord, that you've blessed us with. And Lord, we see our culture changing almost on a daily basis. And Lord, we want to respond to the changes in a way that lifts you up and glorifies you. And we want to do it with gentleness and respect, but we also want to be well informed, Lord, as you tell us in your word, to be well informed. So I just pray that these little tidbits, these little hints will stick in our mind, and when we do come across somebody who comes up with an ad hominem attack or a genetic fallacy or a straw man or even a circular reasoning argument, Lord, that we will be able to identify it and help them to understand the flaw in their argument and hopefully get them to thinking about you and your plan for their lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.